Gets me intrigued. VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn and Dan Novak. Brian tells us about the start of drilling at a Chinese-run oil field in the African nation of Uganda. Oil from the site is expected to be available by 2025. Work is also starting on a pipeline that would go from Uganda through Tanzania so it can reach a port in the Indian Ocean. Dan has a story about work happening in Brazil. To understand more about how dolphins communicate, the scientists hope to learn about how dolphins and humans communicate when working together to catch fish. Then, John Russell and Ashley Thompson bring you the Education Report. They look at the artificial intelligence tool called ChatGPT. The company that created it, OpenAI, is also working on a tool that can see if student writing was original or created by a computer program. After that, Andrew Smith is here with words and their stories. This week, he has some words and phrases that will make you think of dancing, but also remind you of your responsibilities. But first, let's open the program with my story about a record and ice-breaking Italian ship that is exploring cold waters in the southern half of the world. An Italian ship in waters near Antarctica has sailed further south than any ship has done before. The ship was able to make it so far south because of an unusual lack of ice in the Antarctic. The ship, called the Laura Bassi, made it into the Bay of Whales in the Ross Sea. The location was confirmed by Italy's Institute of Oceanography and Applied Geophysics. The Laura Bassi is carrying scientists researching in the Antarctic. Franco Sedmak is the ship's captain. He expressed both happiness and sadness when he spoke with Italy's ANSA news agency. "I am happy with setting a record, but at the same time, I am sad to see that things are really changing here in Antarctica and in the world in general," he said. Sedmak attempted a similar trip in 2017, but could not make it as far because the ice was too thick. He said this time there was much less ice. "I never thought that I would find such a melting of the ice after a few years to be able to go as far south as we managed this year," Sedmak said. Satellite images in 2022 showed the area around Antarctica is losing ice very quickly. Researchers on the ship are studying water temperatures and the health of fish in the area. They took samples as far down as 216 meters to help them get a better understanding of the sea currents. Early results show that the water remained extremely cold and that there is still a large number of young fish. I'm Dan Friedel. ¶¶
Drilling has begun at a Chinese-operated oil field in Uganda. Officials in the East African nation say they expect oil production to begin by 2025. A spokesman for Uganda's Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development, Solomon Muyita, spoke to the Associated Press about the drilling operation. He said the start of drilling at the Kingfisher oil field in the Kikuba district of western Uganda was a big step toward industrial oil production. The China National Offshore Oil Corporation, or CNOOC, operates the field. The project has been strongly criticized by environmental groups. Uganda is estimated to have recoverable oil reserves of at least 1.4 billion barrels. Muyita also said construction would begin this year on the 1,443-kilometer East Africa crude oil pipeline. That project is being developed jointly by CNOOC and the French energy company Total Energies. The pipeline will run between Uganda and the Indian Ocean port of Tanga in Tanzania. Officials have described the project as the world's longest heated oil pipeline. It should also be completed by 2025, Muyita said. Climate activists have raised concerns about the effects of the pipeline on local communities and the environment. Last year, Uganda's president was angered by a resolution by the European Parliament that urged the international community to put maximum pressure on Ugandan and Tanzanian officials over the project. The resolution said the pipeline would threaten environments in protected and sensitive ecosystems, including the shores of Lake Albert. The EU Parliament also warned that the pipeline project placed 100,000 people at imminent risk of displacement without providing effective guarantees of payment, known as compensation. Ugandan officials consider the pipeline important to economic development. They argue that oil wealth can lift millions of people out of poverty. Uganda's National Environmental Management Authority has sought to ease environmental concerns, and Muyita told the AP that thousands of families displaced by the project have already been compensated. I'm Brian Lynn.
A fishing community in southern Brazil has an unusual ally, wild dolphins. Stories of people and dolphins working together to catch fish go back thousands of years. But historians and storytellers have told the human side of the story. Until recently, it has been impossible to know how dolphins have benefited from the relationship. Now, sonar and underwater listening devices can follow them underwater and suggest an answer. In the coastal city of Laguna, scientists have used drones underwater sound recordings, and other tools to track dolphins. The scientists can see how local people and dolphins cooperate and benefit from each other's work. The most successful humans and dolphins are skilled at reading each other's body language. The research was published Monday in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The Laguna residents work with wild bottlenose dolphins to catch schools, or groups, of silverfish called mullet. It is an alliance that has been recorded in local newspaper records going back 150 years. This study clearly shows that both dolphins and humans are paying attention to each other's behavior, and that dolphins provide a cue to when the nets should be cast, said Stephanie King. She is a biologist who studies dolphin communication at the University of Bristol in Britain and was not involved in the research. By working with the dolphins, the people catch more fish, and the dolphins are more successful in foraging too, King added. When it comes to fishing, dolphins and humans have different abilities. Mauricio Cantor is an Oregon State University marine biologist and co-writer of the study. In Laguna, the water is cloudy, so people are unable to see the fish, he said. But the dolphins use sounds to find them. As the dolphins herd the fish toward the coast, the people run into the water holding fish nets. They wait for dolphins to signal exactly where fish are. The most common signal is what locals call a jump or a sudden deep dive, Cantor said. The researchers used sonar and underwater listening devices, or microphones, to track the positions of the dolphins and fish. Drones recorded the action from above, and GPS devices attached to residents' wrists recorded when they casted their nets. The more closely the people timed casting their net to the dolphins' signals, the more likely they were to catch a large amount of fish. When the nets fall in the water, it scares the fish. They then break into smaller schools that are easier for dolphins to hunt. Cantor said the dolphins sometimes also take one or two fish from the net. The Laguna residents group the individual dolphins as good, bad, or lazy. The grouping is based on their skill in hunting and likelihood of cooperating with humans, said Cantor. The people get most excited when they see a good dolphin approaching shore. It is not clear how the Laguna cooperation first started, but it has survived many human and dolphin generations. The knowledge is passed down by experienced fishers and dolphins to the next generation of both. Still, the researchers in Brazil worry that the Laguna Alliance may be in danger. Pollution threatens the dolphins, and there are fewer local fisheries. Scientists hope that more attention to the unusual cooperation can help drive support to protect it. I'm Dan Novak.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English broadcast. I'll be back with the rest of the show in just a moment.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
A new tool from the maker of ChatGPT aims to help deal with concerns about how artificial intelligence, or AI, can be used to cheat in school. The tool is called AI Text Classifier. It is designed to identify writing that was produced not by students, but by AI programs. The tool was launched by OpenAI, an AI technology company based in San Francisco. The company is the maker of ChatGPT, an AI system that can produce any kind of writing on demand. Many education officials are concerned that ChatGPT could fuel academic dishonesty and harm learning. But OpenAI warns that its new AI text classifier tool, like others already available, is not perfect. The method for detecting AI-written writing will be wrong sometimes, said Jan Leica of OpenAI. Because of that, he added, it shouldn't be solely relied upon when making decisions.
Teenagers and college students were among the millions of people who began experimenting with ChatGPT after it launched on November 30th. The tool is a free service on OpenAI's website. Many people have found ways to use it creatively and harmlessly. Still, some educators are concerned about the ease with which it could answer take-home test questions or do other assignments. School districts around the country report they are seeing discussions about ChatGPT change quickly. By the time schools opened for the new year, New York City, Los Angeles, and other big public school districts in the United States began to block its use in classrooms and on school devices. The Seattle Public School District blocked ChatGPT on all school devices in December, but then opened it to educators. District spokesman Tim Robinson said teachers wanted to use ChatGPT as a teaching tool. "We can't afford to ignore it," Robinson said. The district is also discussing expanding the use of ChatGPT to classrooms to let teachers use it to teach students critical thinking. Students could also use the service as a personal tutor or to help create ideas when working on an assignment, Robinson said. OpenAI wrote about the limitations of its detection tool on a blog recently. But the company added that the tool could help to find disinformation campaigns and misuse of AI to mimic humans, in addition to catching plagiarism. The longer a piece of writing, the better the tool is at detecting if an AI system or a human wrote something. AI text classifier can examine any piece of writing, whether it is a college admissions essay or a literary study of Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man. The tool will then claim it as either very unlikely, unlikely, unclear if it is, possibly, or likely AI created. But much like ChatGPT itself, it is not easy to say how AI text classifier comes up with a result. Leica said, "There is a lot about the tool that is still not well understood." He said, "There's really not much we could say at this point about how the classifier actually works."
Colleges around the world also have begun debating responsible use of AI technology. The Paris Institute of Political Studies, or Sciences Po, one of France's most famous universities, banned its use recently. Sciences Po warned that anyone found using ChatGPT and other AI tools to produce written or spoken work could be banned from the school and other institutions. To answer criticism, OpenAI said it has been working for several weeks to create new recommendations to help educators. France's digital economy minister Jean-Noël Barrot recently met in California with OpenAI leaders, including CEO Sam Altman. Barrot, a week later, told people gathered at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, that he was hopeful about the technology. But the government minister said there are also difficult moral questions that will need to be dealt with. So if you're in the law faculty, there is room for concern because obviously ChatGPT, among other tools, will be able to deliver exams that are relatively impressive, he said. If you are in the economics faculty, then you're fine because ChatGPT will have a hard time finding or delivering something that is expected when you are in a graduate-level economics faculty. He said it will be increasingly important for users to understand how these systems work so they know what biases might exist. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. English has many idioms to express close connections. If two people are extremely close and do everything together, we say they are joined at the hip. If two people are very similar to each other, we say they are two peas in a pod. And when two people marry, we say they tied the knot. If you are tied down, that means there are important things you must do, and those things prevent you from doing something else. For example, you can be tied down by your employment or some other tasks. You can be tied down for an afternoon, a week, a month, or for years, depending on the situation. For example, you might say, "I'm going to be tied down here for the next few hours." But you might also say, "He didn't get married because he didn't want to get tied down." In this second example, tied down refers to a long period of time. But what about those people who haven't tied the knot and are not tied down? What expression can we use to describe them? The following exchange gives the answer.
"I think Michael would be a great match for Ellen."
"I think he would too, but I don't think he's ready. Maybe in a few years."
"You think he's too young?"
"Not really. It's just that he doesn't want to be tied down. He wants to travel and be, you know, footloose and fancy free."
"Sounds kind of nice, actually."
Footloose and fancy free means that you do not have serious commitments. It expresses freedom and being without serious worries. Some people may connect the expression with young people who do not yet have serious responsibilities in their lives. American dictionary publisher Merriam-Webster says the first known use of fancy free dates to 1590 and first meant being free from romantic attachment. The first known use of footloose came in 1650. In the 1800s, footloose and fancy free were combined into one expression in American English. Footloose and fancy free is the title of numerous songs, and Footloose was a popular American musical film released in 1984. The movie is about a teenager who moves to a small town where dancing is not permitted. But the teenager wants to dance and set his feet free. Whether you're feeling tied down or footloose and fancy free, that's it for this week's Words and Their Stories. I'm Andrew Smith.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Broadcast. Andrew, I remember watching the film Footloose in the theater a long time ago. It's a classic 80s movie.
Indeed, it is, Dan. That might have been the movie that put the actor Kevin Bacon on the map.
I agree. We might never have started connecting Kevin Bacon to so many other actors without that movie. So, speaking of today's episode, it's kind of funny that we have two expressions in this story, footloose and tied the knot, that could have to do with footwear. For example, you should tie the knot on your shoes if you don't want them to come loose from your feet.
That is true. You have to make sure your shoes do not come off. So, Dan, I was wondering, did this week's story have any special meaning for you?
Actually, Andrew, it did. I got married 3 months ago, so I'm no longer footloose and fancy free. I tied the knot, and I'm very happy.
Dan, that's great. I'm sure our listeners are happy for you. What are some of the things that are different for you now?
Well, Andrew, compared to a couple of years ago, I am a bit tied down. My wife and I own a home together, so we can't just pick up and leave. But I think that's a good thing. It does mean we are on the hook to make repairs if the roof starts to let water in.
Well, in that case, I'll wish you sunny and dry weather this year.
Thanks, Andrew. And thanks for producing a fun episode of Words and Their Stories.
You're welcome, Dan.
And that's the Learning English Broadcast for today. Thanks for listening. And thanks to all my VOA colleagues for their work on today's program. We hope you're feeling footloose and fancy-free as you head into the new week. On today's program, we heard about exploration in Antarctica, oil drilling in Africa, dolphins and humans working together in Brazil, and ChatGPT concerns in education. If you want to keep learning English with stories from around the world, I hope you listen to the program again tomorrow. I'm Dan Friedel.